Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Dear friends, when my sister and I were small children, no phrase frightened us more than, "You just wait till your father gets home." And wait we did, peeking out the window, discussing our possible fate. "Do you think we'll get a spanking? I don't know. Do you? I don't know. It's your fault. It's not my fault. It's your fault." Eventually, Dad's car pulled into the driveway. We raced to our rooms and shut the door and sat down on the bed like saintly cherubs, just hoping that Dad would be too tired or too occupied to discipline. But he never was. Whether scolding or whether using the belt, Dad always disciplined. We always deserved the discipline, and it always hurt. And so the writer of Hebrews said, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful." So what about when God disciplines us? What then? Amid all of our problems and pains, we may wonder, "God, why are you doing this to me? What did I do to deserve this? Why this pain? Why this problem? What's your intention? Do you know what you're doing? Do you even care?" And yet amid that discipline, amid those questions, is there anything we know about God? Is there anything we know about his nature and the way that he disciplines, what his purposes are, that should fill us with joy and hope and peace and move us in Christ to press on toward that finish line of the Christian race to which he has called us? Today, I'd like to tell you four principles briefly about the way God disciplines. The first is that when God disciplines, he never sends evil. He is never the originator of evil. And that's important for us to remember when we're tempted to accuse God of indifference or negligence, as if God were out to harm us instead of save us, or as if God were like a mischievous child interested only in pulling the wings off of flies. God is holy. God is never the source of evil. James wrote in his epistle, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' because God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed." The fact is, the only things that God sends into our lives are good things. And James said this too. "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." In other words, God is good. God is always good. God sends only good. That never changes, because God never changes. But the Bible also promises this, that should evil enter our lives, either by our own doing or God's permission, even then, our gracious God will force that to serve our best interest. And so Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 28, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." Second, when God disciplines us, his intent is to improve or correct or strengthen some area of our Christian life. Unfortunately, when you and I hear the word discipline, what do we think of first? We think of punishment. Punishment is unquestionably a part of discipline, but it is not the only part. Biblical discipline also includes the idea of biblical instruction. In fact, the word discipline is related to the word disciple. Decades ago, when I was in elementary school, one of our Christian day school teachers kept a very large paddle on display in the front of the classroom. And believe me, he knew how to use it. And back then, If we were paddled in school, generally we were paddled at home for having been paddled at school. But that large paddle was only a small part of the classroom. In the same classroom, we learned how to read and write and do arithmetic, how to study and interact and obey all the rules. Inside, we learned to exercise our mind, and outside at recess, we learned to exercise our body. And the goal of that education was simply to create well-rounded Christian individuals. And when God disciplines, his goal is the same. When we face problems in life, or illness, a loss, obstacles, hardship of any kind, instead of accusing God of being indifferent or negligent, perhaps we should be asking, God, what do you want me to learn from this? What are you teaching me? Through need, he may be teaching us to trust him more. Through silence, he may be teaching us to converse with him more. Through illness, he may be teaching us that very important lesson of grace alone. That very same lesson that God taught Paul when, amazingly, God disciplined him and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. It's all you need. My power is made perfect in weakness. See, God's classroom has a paddle, but it also has a curriculum. And the curriculum is the Word of God. Third, when God disciplines, he always does so in absolute love. Absolute love. Sometimes parents convince themselves that true love means giving their children whatever they want. But this is not true. True parental love means giving their children what they need. True parental love means saying yes to some things and saying no to other things. It means disciplining, not ignoring. It means instilling godly values and not instilling worldly instincts. And some might call that tough love, okay, but the Bible calls it agape love, that highest form of love that transcends the deepest emotion to embrace the deepest commitment. It's a determined love. It's a self-sacrificing love. It's a love that is incapable of giving up or letting go. It's a love that focuses on need and not on mere want. And of course, that's God's kind of love. I know it's hard to say, and sometimes it's harder to accept, but when God disciplines us, he is loving us. Am I struggling with an illness? It's because God loves me. Am I dealing with a hardship? It's because God loves me. Have I not yet won the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes? It's because God loves me. Finally, when God disciplines us, he's treating us as his dear children. I have vivid memories of sitting on the living room sofa with my dad nearby, making sure that I would memorize the questions and answers in Bible verses in Luther's Small Catechism. Pay attention, Mark. Oh, Dad. Repeat after me, Mark. We should fear and love God that we may or may not. Oh, Dad, this is not fair. All the other kids are outside and they don't have to study their catechism. And whenever I would use that approach to get out of studying, the conversation always ended the same way. My dad would look at me and say, well, Mark, those aren't my children. You're my son. Every time I go through difficulties in my life, and yet I'm able to keep moving forward because of one of those Bible passages that I had to learn, I think about sitting on that sofa. I thank God for my father, who loved me enough to discipline. So then, if you are struggling today, if you're tempted to give up on something, on faith, on life, if you feel that God is being too harsh with you, and if you think that the Christian life should be nothing more than a leisurely stroll down a peaceful promenade, Then listen again to these words from God. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Amen. Our closing hymn is 521, stanzas 4 and 6. 521, verses 4 and 6.